Well, Christmas begins with people in a mess. So if you're in a big mess, Jesus is for you. When Jim was singing, I was thinking, you know, the shoes that Joseph wore going into the experience of being the father of Jesus, and Mary would wear also, they probably could identify with some of the words of that song, the uncertainty of life for them, even though God would be a big part of their life for sure. It still didn't take away the uncertainty and the fear and the difficulty that they would face. People were a mess on the outside. At that time, God's people were ruled by people who didn't know God, didn't care about God or respect him in any way. Caesar was the big boss in the area, and he insisted that people say, "Caesar is Lord." So that was where people's allegiance was supposed to be. Herod was also ruling that particular area of land. He was so intent on holding power for himself, being in control maybe of his own life and the life of others, that he felt that anybody who would threaten that should be taken out, literally. And he actually did that later in the gospel stories. We hear the sad news of any boy 2 years or younger was to be wiped out. And that was Herod's doing. So the bad circumstances were all around Joseph and Mary. And as bad as they were, things on the inside were a mess also. It's been said no matter how bad things are on the outside, our real trouble in life is the trouble in our own soul. And God would come to deal with that first before he would deal with anything on the outside. And so Mary, when she hears that the angel come and begin to, you know, bring an intervention in her life, she is afraid and she is confused. And she's going to have a baby and she's not married. And so she wonders, what's my future? Am I going to lose Joseph? Am I going to lose my reputation? Am I going to lose my security? Everything was a little bit uncertain for Mary, even though God was beginning to work in her life. Even when the angel told her that Christ would come and she was going to be the mom of the Savior, and God would do a miracle and Jesus would be born of a virgin, Mary said, "How could this be? How could this be?" She still couldn't believe what God would do in her life. And I think a lot of times you and I say that to God. He says, I can give you my son in your life, and he will shine so brightly you can't believe it. And we might look at our own life or our own circumstances and say, how can this be? How could this be? Could it happen to me? Finally, Mary surrenders to the Lord and gets some peace in her soul. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as the Lord has said. Boy, that's a great prayer to pray if you're facing a mess in your own life. Say, Lord, are you going to come and be with me? Are you going to help me or not? If you could say, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as the Lord has said. The desire for Mary to trust God in that hard circumstance. And remember, Mary, she had no control over what's around her any more than she had control over her own emotions. Sometimes we think we can control our emotions very easily. That's about as easy as controlling your own thoughts. They can weave in and out and go places you really don't want them to go. And Mary needed help with that. Her soul needed God to come and give peace and calmness. And it was just like she had no control over whether Jesus was going to be born or not. She had to surrender that to God. And sometimes to have God's help in our emotional life, we need to say, I surrender this to God, and he will come and bring peace. She was asked to believe the message, the Lord is with you. That's what she had to believe. Mary, you have favor with God, the Lord is with you. And I think at Christmas, God gives that good news message to any soul who would offer him room to be empty like the place of where the manger was laid. But to be like Mary helps us see that behind every problem, God's presence is there. Even at Christmas time, whatever problem is. And at Christmas, if you have problems at Christmas, the pain level goes up. It's more difficult to relate to relatives. It's more difficult to look at financial responsibility. It's more difficult to connect with friends in a healthy manner. But God would say, the message is the Lord is with you. And Mary responded to things that she had no direct say over. And she didn't cause Jesus to be born or, you know, all these bad things around her to happen. But what if God pointed out a mess in our lives that we ourselves produced? What if we were responsible for the mess that was there? Not only the mess around us, but the mess in our own soul. What would God say to us then? Well, throughout the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, and at Christmas, and in the Old Testament, God speaks to people who have gone away from Him on purpose. And He still gives them good news in spite of that. In the book of Joel, the true story is that God's people turned away from God. Instead of loving God and trusting Him, they trusted themselves and put themselves at the center of their lives. So Joel's story is our story. And God tells the people, He says, look, I love you. So He sends warning. He wipes out all their crops, their daily bread, the thing that really was going to sustain them in the everyday circumstances and the ups and downs of life. And God wipes out all their crops and brings a temporary judgment on them, you might say. And the people are really affected by this. They are hurting big time, physically and emotionally. But God comes to them, even though they produce those bad circumstances, He comes to them and says, turn back to me, return to me with all your heart. There's that invitation that God gives. You notice in the Christmas songs how many times the word come is used. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Come, all ye faithful. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. So many times God's telling us to come to Him. Great invitation for where you're at with God. He says, turn back to me and return with all your heart. Do so in prayer. If you have to stop eating for a while to know the sincerity of your own heart, you know, follow through with returning to me. And then God gives a great promise that we can take for ourselves, and I think Mary and Joseph took for themselves. God says, I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. Locusts came and wiped out the crops. And Moses prayed a similar prayer in Psalm 90. He said, might our future be as happy as our past was sad. A lot of times at Christmas, people they reminisce and say, oh, things have been hard recently. And maybe at Christmas, can it be different? Maybe in the new year, can it be different? God says, I'll come. That'll be different. And help you to trust me. And then God starts describing the mess as if His blessing is going to be better than the mess of the locusts. He says, I'll repay you for the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm. Now, how many problems can you have? But that's how the people were wiped out. Too many to count. And if the locust represents the consequence of our sins, sometimes we can't unravel the consequence of the sins that we have in our lives. There's too many and it's too complicated. It's like an avalanche effect. One sin leads to another and another and another. And before you know it, you're in a maze that only Christ can bring you out of or bring you through. I remember trying to get to some homes that I'd never been before. And they were just within 2 or 3 miles of the church here. And when I would take a wrong turn, it would literally take me about 45 minutes to find that house. And I would take one wrong turn, lead to another and another. I stopped and asked for directions. They asked me, where did you first go wrong? I have no idea where I first went wrong. All that I know is I'm lost. And would God find you there? He says He would. And to even try to retrace your steps was hard. Mary, she's thinking, why did God choose me? She sings that later in the chapter. She's thankful. Once a little boy liked to play with some matches once upon a time. And he knew it was wrong and dangerous, but he did it anyway, went to the basement and did his matches thing and would always hush out the fire. And one day he's doing that and his parents come home, so he thinks, I gotta get the fire out and upstairs and, you know, go about my other games and business. And so he did that. Later on in the day, under God's providence, a fire started in the basement through an electrical problem in the house. The fire became very fierce and, of course, put everybody in danger, the house and all the people. Now, the boy sees this happening and he's frozen with guilt and shame. He's thinking, did I cause all of this? I know I did wrong, but did I cause all of this? He didn't know anything about electrical fires and, you know, things beyond his control. So should he look at that and stay in the house and just be frozen with the sense of guilt and shame? You know, guilt is dealing with behavior. Shame is when you say, boy, I don't even like who I am because of feeling apart from God. God can take, he promises to take our shame away because he becomes our friend through faith in Christ. So we could be thankful and hold our head with gladness again. But the boy wonders what to do. And what should the parents do at that point? They know of the fire. They know the boy's past behavior. Are they going to stop everything and yell at the boy? Look what you did, Johnny. You probably did this. That would be a waste of time, wouldn't it? And they can deal with behavior problems later. But for the parents and for the boy, they know the way of escape. They know the way of escape, and it's there for them. And they can all take it. And they can all have life and have a new life if they take that way and just go. Just go. Stop trying to figure out what you did or didn't do. Just go with Christ. He says, I'm the way to the Father. If you'd want to be close to God, come to Him through me. The way of safety was for all of them. As someone said, the great thing about life and the great thing about Christmas is not the good that we can do, but it's the great things God can do with the mess we're in. Not the good that we can do. I love one of the phrases we sang, by thine all-sufficient merit. It's addressing Jesus. By all your goodness, Jesus, raise us to your glorious throne. Give us fellowship with you. Give us a home in heaven. And it's going to have to be you. And we're glad to turn to you. The great thing about Christmas and about life, not the good we can do, but the great things God can do with the mess we're in. The West doesn't matter if the mess we made it or the mess somebody else made it. God can still do good. And we're called to believe the message. Same message was given to Mary. The Lord is with you. May God give us the faith to believe the truth from Jesus, that the Lord would be with us. Christ would come, want to spend Christmas with us. Might we respond with the same trusting heart that Mary had. When you look around, you don't understand everything, but you understand God loves you. And so you say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as he has said. May it be to me as he has said. And might we trust God to bring good news to the hearts that are broken, sad hearts that need his joy, troubled hearts that need his peace. Christ is come so we might have life with him. Let's pray together. When we pray this morning, just surrender some parts of your soul that would be out of control without God's help and the circumstances around you that you would say, that's a mess. But would you surrender them to Christ? First, the things of the soul, which were most important. And then commit to him what's around you, whether you made the mess or somebody else did. Commit that to God. And ask that you're able to hear him say, the Lord is with you. Let's quietly surrender things to the Lord.